When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and this afternoon I am delighted to be joined by Sean Conley, who is dialing in all the way from Australia. We are here to talk about Dundee 1, Celtic 2. And I was just saying there, Sean, before we went on live, it was one of the games you get the 3 points and you get away down the road. It definitely had that feel about it in the second half, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. I can't say it was particularly enjoyable beyond getting the 3 points in the bag. I think Jerry's just got too nervous. He couldn't come back to talk about it. We actually played better in the first half somehow. That's the first 15 minutes there. Dundee were all over us. It was looking very ominous. Then we made some subs. We settled into it at that point. James Forrest gets a goal, second goal, even though he'd had a poor start. And then they get a little bit lucky. We switch off a little bit at set piece, and it's a pretty frantic last 10 minutes there. It was a bit nervy, but we got the 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the situations you can look for all the positives, which I will be doing, obviously. And as we go through that process, there will be some negatives, and some of that will come up through the comments, and we'll bring it up and we'll debate it. But by the way, I'm going to bring this one in first. Kurgan, I think you're being a little bit harsh here on Adam Eder. I think Adam Eder, since he came in January, has done so, so well. And you know that goal, the own goal that he scored there? Before we get to the own goal, I'm going to actually say that we were devoid of any kind of energy until we made the two substitutions. Came on and Iwata came on. I think we actually got a bit of a tempo about us after that. He's done so, so well up to this point. You can look at his two goals against Motherwell changing the game at Firth Park, his two goals at Easter Road winning us the game, balls of steel, you know, taking the two penalty kicks when we'd been poor at them all season. He took a penalty kick in the Scottish Cup semi-final against Aberdeen. He scores against Rangers. Okay, it didn't go well for him today. But I'm going to point out, actually, right, if Hatate tackles and goes in for that ball full-blooded, Sean, mm-hmm. Eder doesn't have to be in the way for the shot because Hatate can win that ball. I think he pulls out of it. And I'm a massive fan of Hatate. So I think it's easy to focus on Eder. What's your take on that? Because so far, I think he's been a really good acquisition. I know it might just be a short-term answer. I think he's done well overall.
Yeah, I like him in the squad. I like him as a player. I didn't think he did too much today, to be honest, of note. Same could be said for Kyogo. I thought they were both kind of not in the game, really. And they were both disappointing in that sense. We had to rely on Forrest to get us our two goals. I'm happy with Eder overall. Hatate's, when you're pulling out stuff like that, when you're not going full-blooded, that is because you've had a lot of injuries and it does kind of play in your mind, even if it's subconscious. But there's no question about the kind of effort for Hatate. There was one point in injury time there where he'd made a run forward to support the counter-attack, and then you got the close-up of him chasing back to track down the Dundee player that was breaking on the other direction, and just this like, real grit look in his face. So, like, I know that consciously Hatate is putting the effort in, and he played 93 minutes or 96 minutes, whatever it was there. And I think maybe he's still got that kind of the injury he's had this season playing in his mind. But yeah, I don't think Eder carries any blame, really.
No, you're right. I remember the point, actually. And Hatate didn't have he knew he didn't have it in his tank, but he made the run anyway to try and win the ball back. And there was two or three occasions, I think, where Hatate's just, you know, played the ball out the park, which is very unlike him. But it was important, I feel, for him to get the full 90 or 95 minutes under his belt. Callum McGregor didn't. I think that was a combination, Sean, of probably before the game they knew when they were going to take him off. But he didn't play well today either, did he?
Nah, he didn't. And to be fair, Iwata came on and he looked a bit assured. He was a good energy, good strength. He had a bit of energy that the other people around him didn't. But then also his passing was a little bit off. So he had two-thirds of what he needed to do. And I don't know. It proved us in a sense, but I still think we need to. It's a hard one, right? Because you can't get match sharpness from players having them sit in the stand. You need them playing 60 minutes, 90 minutes to get that. That's Hatate's just built up to his 90 minutes, and it's McGregor's turn today. And I know that it seems like O'Reilly's never injured, but and it's hard to see in TV. But when you actually watch a game in the flesh, O'Reilly is not sprinting as much as any other player on the pitch. He does kind of tend to stroke. Not otherwise he's stroll because that's a bit harsh. But let's say he's not moving as fast as other players off the ball. It's something that's noticeable when you actually watch a game live at a stadium. But yeah, I think he'll get here soon, McGregor, and I think he'll be important in the next few games.
Yeah, it does feel like the midfield are a wee bit off it at the moment. And that's understandable because they've missed games. Well, Hatate and McGregor have, and they've been injured and they're fit enough to play, but maybe not sharp enough to really hit their peak. I felt a bit sorry, I've got to say, at certain points this season for Matt O'Reilly. I felt he was carrying us a bit. And he sometimes looks leggy to me, Sean. He sometimes looks as though he's knackered, to be honest, because he has. When he's one of the guys, if he's fit, he plays. So he's played a lot of minutes this season. I guess I'm looking for the positive on that one because I rate him so highly.
He's our top scorer.
So, yeah. You know, talking to scorers, I do want to focus a fair bit on Jamesy boy, Jamesy Forrest. But let's bring in some of the comments before we do that. Joe Fulham believes we can win the league. Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Absolutely, we can win this league. It's all about the win, says Jean-Paul II. It does have that feel about it. We knew what we had to do just last week. Our title challengers went to Dens Park and dropped points. We didn't. We seen the St Mirren score before we kicked off today. We knew that we had to win to keep that three-point gap. And when we did, I'm pretty sure after the game, Brendan Rodgers will pinpoint some issues he was unhappy with and they'll work on it all week until the next game. But I'll tell you something, not only is it a game ticked off, it's one of the away games ticked off as well, Sean. We've only got two away games. You know, you're looking for margins, aren't you? But that's definitely an advantage, the fact we've got more home than away.
Yeah, there's four games left and three of them are home. Is that right? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Dundee, that's we're the only team that have taken full points off Dundee this season. They've taken points off every other team in the league. So there's that as well. Look, Dundee are no mugs and they've got some good players in there. McGowan was really good today. I thought he was like that. The part of the reason why our midfield struggled was he really dominated it, as well as Boateng and the other one, I forgot the other guy's name, but Silla. Silla, and they really physically dominated us. It was a hard game. So like we were never going to like dominate the game in that sense. We had to rely on the strength and pace. And in the end, it was about the two pieces of quality from Forrest that were the difference, really.
I'm going to pick up on that point that you've made, Sean, right? Because I think it was pretty obvious to see today that in terms of a battle, a physical battle in the midfield, it's not something that I thought we looked all that strong in. And you come up against Dundee, and I think they've done really well with their recruitment. I mean, you look at a player like McCann, I'm sure he came from Ayr United, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
He played last season in the Championship. He's impressed, I think, every time he's played Celtic or Rangers this season. But as you say, they do have strong, strong players in the midfield. And at one point during that second half, I was looking at it thinking, are we too soft in the midfield? We've got, you know, the flair and the creativity in there. But I'm beginning to wonder, and I'm going back to the beginning of the season when Alan Morrison said it. He said, we don't have the physicality that we really need. He was talking more from a Champions League perspective. But you come up against a Dundee side, and I'm not saying they were bullying us. I'm not getting to that point. But I do think that they outpowered us, and we don't have that physical presence. Iwata has got it. He's maybe not the tallest, but he does have the strength, certainly. And I was wondering, you know, although I do think McGregor, Hatate, O'Reilly is our best trio, I'm not sure if they're the strongest when it comes to midfielders.
Yeah, and that's, as you said, that's where Iwata comes in, and I'm not even sure who we've got after that, and I'm not even sure what players we've had in the past that you could compare that would fill in that position, to be honest. It feels like something we tend to not go for. We don't tend to go for that power in the middle. We tend to go for the ability a bit more. Honestly, I can't think. Landry and Guemo, I don't know. Who would you even name? There's still a really power unit we've put in the middle.
Probably Wanyama. You know,
Wanyama,
like... Yeah. That's the type of player, if we're talking stature. I remember when Abilgar, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he came in, and he was apparently that type of player, and I just didn't see it. I didn't see that he was going to bring that muscle to our midfield. Obviously, there's very little we can do. We've got to work with what we have at the moment. But if we are going to strengthen in the midfield area, I think that definitely go for some kind of physicality. Because the last one I can remember who could really enforce themselves in a game was probably Wanyama, and that was a few years ago now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And then I think even if you go back, there's been times in the past where we've had to put players like Sutton into midfield or rely on Gravesen, who's, you know, like that's just the way we've always been. We've had your Lamberts and your Petrovs and rather than any power units in there. And like, in a sense, it's right. You win leagues, you win games, but then in another sense, in a game like today, we could have done with something in there, right? Yeah, that was a tough haul, and it did take that bit of quality. And I do wonder if in the past we've just, instead of relying on that quality, we've relied on like a Bouyata header from a set piece. I feel like that was one in Rodgers' first couple of seasons, was on days where it just wasn't clicking. It was, yep, we'll get a header from Bouyata and that'll win us a game. And that's just not an option for us this season. We're just not scoring those kind of things. That's not, we don't have that power in defence, never mind the midfields either. So we are really having to rely on the skill, the technical players more than we have, I think, in previous seasons. Maybe Postecoglou notwithstanding, his was a different brand, obviously.
You're right. And again, if we go back to the beginning of the season, Brendan Rodgers was talking about power. He wanted to bring power into the team. And that's something I think we lack. And it's something we need to look at when we go into the summer. Because when we're attacking, I'm looking at some of the corners coming in. Scales won a couple of them, but it was kind of weak. And then when we're looking at corners coming into our defensive area, I sometimes balk at that. I really do, because I never feel confident, Sean, that we're going to score from a corner, but I never feel confident we're going to defend one. And to me, that's something we really need to focus on in the summer as well.
Yeah, there was one like 89 minutes, I think, Dundee got a corner, and I was looking at all the big Dundee players going into the six-yard box, and I was like, they're just going to put us in the mixer, and it could just go anywhere. It's just chaos ball. And as it happened, the guy hit the front man, called Cottesloe, or I can't remember what his name is, sorry, but he hit the front man, and it was just like such a massive relief, because that just, if that gets into that 6-yard box, it can go anywhere, and we've got a height disadvantage at that point. I was very nervous, so I was really, it's almost part of our game plan that we have to try and avoid conceding these corners and free kicks in the final third. It's a vulnerability for us, and I think it feels like the coaching team are doing as good a job as they can, but you might be right. We need more weapons to fight that.
Yeah, yeah. We're one step closer, one game closer, hopefully, to another league title. We've got Father Flanagan's coming in on the YouTube. Scales are total and utter dud. But the reason I brought that up is just to show you the diversity of opinion that we have in the comment section, because Pinball reckons that Scales was the man of the match. Solid. Was he somewhere in between for you, Sean?
I'm guessing some people are focusing on the one where he clears it after Joe Hart's been beaten by Bakayoko, and Scales gets in and clears it back when it was 1-0, and that was a really strong effort. But yeah, I thought first half he was particularly poor. Second half he wasn't striding out as much. He wasn't called on to do as much other than defend and play it across in the back semicircle kind of thing. So I think there was kind of less scrutiny on him. So I think second half he was appeared to be better, at least. I think usually when you get those two divergent opinions, the truth is somewhere in the middle, and that's kind of where I land.
Yeah, and as we said at the beginning of the game, and Jerry joined us as well, it really is, I think, more of a risk, Sean, to throw in Navroski. I think from the other centre-halves we've got, Stephen Welsh is the safest bet. Now, I know people are going to be throwing things at the screens at the very mention of that, but I think when Welsh plays alongside Carter Vickers, he's pretty solid. I don't see him making horrific errors. I know he's not great in the air. I think that's one of the big issues we've got, and Dundee tried to target that in the first half. But Navroski, you look at him, you look at the price tag, and you think, well, surely he's a solid defender. But at this moment in time, moving into the month of May, we've not seen it on a consistent basis, and I would be reluctant to throw him in for any of the last four games now if we're focusing on the league. We'll come back to the Scottish Cup once we find out what's happening with the league. Paul McLean, you're coming in. Major hurdle climbed. Yeah, hurdle cleared, jumped. Absolutely, I think we have done. Joe, you're back in. Another away game overcome. Now, I'm bringing this up from AG, and I'm not bringing it up to criticise. I'm bringing it up to probably look at this kind of feeling at the moment with regards to the Celtic side, because AG was born in 1980 and he reckons this is the worst Celtic side that you've seen. Now, if it is, that's your bag. That's your opinion. Absolutely, AG. But you're of a similar vintage to me. I was born a couple of years before you. So I think we've probably seen the same Celtic sides. And if you forget about the absolute dross that we had to suffer during the nine in a row that Rangers won, right, for a moment, because we had some really bad seasons. And we look at the season since Wim Jansen won the league. And I think there's been a few occasions when you come onto this show wearing that bumblebee kit, for example. I think Tony Mowbray, that was a really bad team. I look at the season that we lost to 10, loads of other circumstances surrounding it. That was really, really poor. And I think it was worse to watch than what we've seen this season. And I think there's been others. I think the John Barnes season was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster, Sean. So I don't subscribe to that. And I'm not trying to be a Brendan Rodgers fanboy. I think there's certain things that have worked against him and worked against Celtic this season. We could probably throw in things like the situation that was Abada, a very difficult one to deal with for a manager. And we lost a very good player as a result of that. We lost a really good batch of players at the beginning of the season that were not sufficiently replaced by the recruitment team. That's something he's had to deal with. And we've been plagued by injuries all season. I mean, we still have made out injured. And of course, we've had these issues that we've discussed at length regarding our issue with VAR and the officialdom of Scottish football. Even Brendan Rodgers has been suspended for bringing it up himself. I don't think it's the worst team in my lifetime, Sean. I really don't.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything you've said there. The only thing I might say in mitigation is that you could, if we happen to do well in the next four games and win the league, you might make a strong argument that it's the worst team that's won the league. But you could also chuck in Ronnie Dyla's second year and amongst that, but that's that would be the only caveat I would add to that. Look, we're much better now than we were or have been at other times in the season. I think that's been the main problem. The back-to-back losses to Kilmarnock and Hearts were absolute killer. I'd pretty much conceded the league when we lost that last-minute goal to Kilmarnock at home, the one each game at Celtic Park. That for me, and look, I knew we weren't mathematically done at that point, but for me it was like, look, the way we're playing, I just don't see how, like, we're behind now mathematically, and I don't see how we make up the form. Fortunately, our rivals have also capitulated. And if you talk about, again, to go back to what we mentioned in the pre-match, that it's the kind of intangibles, and you're looking for trends to explain why a close race, who wins. And the one that you would always go to 20 years ago was the team with the best defence wins the league. And during the spell, the run they were on, they had a much better defensive record than us. Look, if even Stephen Naismith coming out and saying they were lucky, fine. You can call it whatever you want. But at that point, I'd pretty much given up. And look, Rodgers has steadied the ship. We've not been pulling up trees. We've not been killing anyone apart from that previous game against Dundee. But we're in a position of strength, real strength. Four games left, three of them are home, and all we need are three wins and a draw. So, look, if we do see this out, I have to give credit to the management team, even though all four teams we're playing, I believe, within the last calendar year, we've dropped points to all of them in the last calendar year. So it's not a given that we're going to win three out of four, and well, three in a draw is what we need, 10 points. But to be in this position is fair, well played, you know.
Oh, definitely. And you're right, there has been moments this season. I was thinking about it in the second half when we went 2-0 up, actually, and I was feeling a wee bit more confident. And I was thinking when the season's over, you'll look back on some moments, Sean, and mm-hmm. you didn't think you were going to do it. I do think we're going to do it. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think there is an argument to say it's maybe one of the worst teams that's won the league. And yeah. the Ronnie Dyla second season is one that comes to mind as well. Celtic sides, that is. But I am trying to look at some of the biggest kind of plus points in that game. And one of them for me was the fact that James Forrest proved a lot of his doubters again wrong. And he's come on. And, you know, the two goals that he scored, even the second one, I know that the commentary team was going on about, you know, he can't miss from there. He makes a goalie. I think he does really, really well. And he does really, really well to actually win the ball back. And then accept that pass in from Hatate, and he does so well to evade a challenge and get the ball in. Jamesy Forrest, it's all about Forrest for me today. You know, here's a guy that comes in for loads of criticism. Absolutely. Divides opinion, 100%. People would have seen him gone at the beginning of the season. People might have actually got rid of him in the January, to be honest with you, and he wasn't in favour at that point. But he's come back. He's come back in. He scored last weekend against Aberdeen at Hampden. He scored the two today. This is a massive win. When we look back on this season, that's a huge win. And Jamesy Forrest is the guy that's got the goals. Listen, as soon as Maeda's fit, I reckon he'll drop back onto the bench, Sean. But, you know, he is really contributing. And that's not an I told you so moment, right? But we don't get it right all that often here. So when we do, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. We were talking about James Forrest last week, and I said, there's going to be a moment within the next six games, as it was back then, that Jamesy Forrest wins us a game and he's going to score an important goal. He done it today. He was tremendous today.
Mm-hmm. And I do wonder, like, it's a shame that kind of the Dundee goal kind of made it a tense finish and kind of took the gloss off the James Forrest does it for us. And a bit just order of operations, really. So you can still make, you know, if it's one each and James Forrest scores that goal, it's the headline, right? But instead it's kind of Celtic scrape it, right? So so you kind of need to realise that there's a lot of narrative about these things and the fact that James Forrest has essentially scored the two goals that won that game for us today. And again, narrative, timing, like Rogic scores the goal, it wins the league at Rugby Park, but people forget about the last minute winner of Tony Ralston or whatever, right? You know, like it's timing as well. Everyone remembers that Tommy Johnson and Harold Brattback scored the goals that won the league, but you know, it's 38 games, right? But yeah, today is definitely a Jamesy Forrest moment, and you're right that it was called here on this podcast, not just today, throughout the week. And he's, yeah, like I definitely didn't see it coming. I thought he was done. When he was dropped, he was in the first half of the season, he was pretty much in every squad, coming off the bench here and there. When he scores the goal in November against Ross County, this is the third one in a 3-0 win. He comes and I was thinking, oh, that's nice. He's kept the streak going. That's pretty much going to be his peak for this season. And now he's proven to actually go beyond that. And I'm very pleased for him. Like, he's a legend, even if he's not doing the same thing as he was when he was previously player of the year. I mean, the guy was player of the year. Like, it's not like he's objectively been a good player in the past, and you don't just lose it, right?
No, you're right. And I think some of the words that Brennan Rodgers was using during the week were incredible when he went down to England and he was talking about some of the best players that he had worked with. And he always spoke about James Forrest in those terms. I'm always looking at the fact that he's edging closer and closer to this 500 club. Only a dozen players in the history of Celtic have played 500 or more competitive games for Celtic. And you're talking guys like, you know, Danny McGrain, Roy Aiken, Billy McNeil, Tommy Bunt, legends of the game. Scott Brown's in there, actually. And it looks as though if he extends his stay at Celtic Park beyond this season, Sean, James Forrest will be in there, because that was game number 489. today. And he scores another couple of goals. As we know, he scored over 100 goals for the club. He's got over 100 assists. If we win the double, it was pointed out in the second half, he's going to be second only to Bobby Lennox in terms of the most decorated player in Celtic's history. Unbelievable. I think that when you watch him in the here and now, sometimes people can underappreciate him at times. But by the end of this season, we can look back on today and say that was a big moment. You get the sense that it's been a big moment in the season for us today. Ewan Boy, Martin, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you for supporting the channel. At this stage of the season, winning is the only thing that matters. But that was poor today. We can't keep clean sheets. That is so worrying. And I think I'll go back to that skills comment, Sean, because we can't seem to keep a clean sheet, right? But if we... And this is a strange thing. I was saying a few weeks back, we need to score 3 goals every game because I'm not confident we're going to win unless we do it. Part of that was down to the fact that we can't keep a clean sheet. It's coming to the end of the season where Joe Hart will hang up his gloves. The guy that sat on the bench today was an unused substitute for Celtic for the 200th time, Scott Bain. We definitely need a replacement for Joe Hart. Some argue that we need 2 goalies in the summer. What do we do in terms of the keepers? I think we've done really well over a period of time. There's been a few blips in the likes of Barkas, but we've done so well from Boric to Foster and Gordon and Joe Hart. And it's going to be a huge buy for us in the summer, isn't it? The goalie, the replacement for Joe Hart.
Yeah, well, look, that wasn't the narrative in the days before Artur Boric, I remember. We went from Rab Douglas to Dimitri Karin to Magnus Hedman to whoever it was back then. And it was always Celtic can't get a good goalkeeper, and the other Glasgow club could pull out Lionel Charbonnier off the bench and he'd be better than whoever we had starting in goals. And that was the narrative back then. But that kind of turned around after Artur Boric and Fraser Foster, and we got on a really good streak. So we've got a really good goalkeeping coach in Stevie Woods. So you're right, though. I think your man Seagrass is already out the door and all, but where his payslips are coming from. And yeah, I think Scott Bain will still be here, but there'll probably 2 more coming in. So maybe he'll be adding to it. Maybe he'll just be a good influence in the dressing room, as I say.
Yeah, well, he's got something. And he's been there since, obviously, Brendan Rodgers was here last time round. I shared a compilation, a show reel, a highlight reel of Scott Bain last night. And he's been here for ages. I mean, he's been at Celtic for 7 seasons, has Scott Bain. And I know that you do need people at the club who are very reliable, low maintenance, Sean. Guys that aren't going to be chatting your door if they don't get a game. And I do think we've got a few guys like that. Tony Ralston springs to mind. He's that type of player. Stephen Welsh appears to be that type. And it's good to have that. But it's just unfortunate we don't have a goalie coming through the ranks that could be sitting on the bench. And then we could bring in a top-class goalie for next season as well. Pinball brings it up. We need a goalkeeper who dominates the area. That's the one thing I think would be my criticism. This season with Joe Hart, you know, last season, the season before, it was all about mistakes he was making with the ball at his feet, Sean. You know, that's not been a big issue this season. But sometimes you look at that and you just wish he would command his area. Kurgan, you're back in. I'd give it to Forrest. First start since November and 2 goals. Yeah, he was brilliant today. My God, we have been dreadful, says Jamie. But we won the game and that's what's important. And Stephen Sloan comes in. If we do win this league, I feel it's going to go down as the worst Celtic team to win the league in modern day history. I'll take it, Stephen. I will take it. All day long. And I'll tell you one of the big things, right? I was talking about a week or two ago, Sean, about the knock-on effect of us winning this league, right? And the fact that obviously we've got a huge amount of money in the bank at the moment. We've got a bad amount of money coming in, potentially Frimpong money coming in, season ticket money. And then you've got, you know, the Champions League bounty, which has never been as big as it is next season. And next season's massive insofar as we go straight into the group stages. We're going to have to work a bit harder after that. We're probably in the best situation financially we've ever been in the history of the football club at that stage. And the swing in terms of, you know, I think it's monumental. I think if you win the league this season, albeit, as Stephen says and others agree, one of the worst teams that might have won the league, right? And I feel bad even saying that because to win a league over 38 games, what an achievement that is. and I don't want to stick the boot in because we won the game today. But the swing in terms of influence and being the biggest club and the richest club, the best club, you could be on your way to another period of dominance there, Sean. It will be three in a row. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but that's the importance of winning this league, as much as because you want to win the league because it's Celtic. But the damage that that can do, you could actually create an absolute huge gap between you and your closest challenger.
The only thing I would say against that, and I do actually agree, but the only thing I would say against that is we said the same thing at this point last year, and that's not borne out. And I think the reason for that is that you do, when you're overperforming and you're overachieving so much for so long, anytime you, if you stand still, you're going backwards. Yeah. And if you just don't run as fast, you're just going to go backwards a bit as well, is kind of where we're at right now. It's just regression to mean. Just by doing less, you pull back to the pack. And it's great. What you're saying is right. And we said the same last year. But if we don't take that advantage, then it doesn't actually count for anything. So I agree with you, but also we need to do something about that.
You're right. I think that the big issue and the big doubt probably in my mind, Sean, to be able to kick on from that is the vision and the ambition. And it needs to be there at boardroom level as well, because I know they'll look back and say, oh, we spent 20 odd million quid and we invested and we did this. But did we do it at the level of quality that many fans, not all fans, can't speak for everybody, but Brendan Rodgers as well has gone on about it time and time again about this level of quality. I know that the board will look at the Champions League campaign this season and say we did better than last season because we won more points and we earned more money. But as a fan, I don't feel like we did. I feel like we're standing still in that respect, perhaps going backwards. So this pre-season is going to be very interesting, and let's hope that we go into it having won the league. Last word goes to Ewan, because Ewan has been instrumental in bringing Axon to Dunoon. It's going to happen, hopefully, for a title party. It's May the 17th. I'm going to be with Grantie, Peter Grant, and wee super Joe Miller. It's going to be a centenary night to remember, and that is the 17th of May. So I've never been to Dunoon. I'm told that it's a beautiful, scenic place to visit in any case, but it's going to be a good night with Axon in town. Tickets are underneath this video. The link is there. Come along and get involved. I've got to thank you again, Sean. It's been an absolute pleasure for you joining us once again on the Celtic State of Mind. Thank you to 1600 plus on the post-match and for all your comments. It's great to have a bit of debate and a bit of disagreement. That's what it's all about. On to the next one. Thanks for joining us on a Celtic State of Mind.
Yeah, well.
Podcast Network.